Hey, let's pray. We will pray the chaplet. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the woundedness that is out there as well. And really for the confusion. I think Martha, who called in and, you know, was confused over why rape and incest is not justifiable means for taking a life. She works in foster care. You know, she's got a good heart. And she sees the horrors of what some parents can do to their kids, right? What happens? So my heart goes out to anyone in foster care, anyone seeking adoption. I want to pray for those misguided, you know, by this life. And let's pray for our president. Let's pray for this administration. Let's pray for God's mercy on this country. That's what we really need to pray for, okay? And we'll pray for you. We'll pray for one another. We'll take your calls. I want to pray for all those women in crisis pregnancy making that decision as to whether or not they're going to choose life or not, that God will move their heart. As I said earlier, I want to pray for Cardinal Zen. Cardinal Zen has been hospitalized in Hong Kong after his health has deteriorated after he took this trip to Pope Benedict's funeral in Rome. He's 91 years old, and he's a real wonderful confessor for the faith. So we want to pray for him. He's having difficulty breathing. All those that are now approaching death. I want to pray for my friend Yaya. I pray for Peter Grandage, who will be joining me tomorrow. Those are the kind of prayers we keep throwing out every day to you. I also want to pray for Phil Flynn. Phil, if you are listening, we are praying for you right now. Phil sent me an email. Let me see if I can get to that and share that. Phil is a energy expert who's been on this program many times with us. He's a Fox business contributor as well, so you might recognize the name. Let's see if I can pull up his email. Here it is. He says, "Hey Drew," he says, "I've got a prayer request for you and for all at Relevant Radio. Could you please pray for the request of the soul of Clive Leslie?" Okay, he is the father of a client, and I will certainly do that. We're going to lift him up right now. This man took his own life, unfortunately. He committed suicide, and that is such a tough, tough thing for family members and those who are close to him. So we'll pray for God's mercy for those who have thoughts of harming themselves, those who have suicidal ideation, those who, for the families that are left behind by this. So we'll pray for the soul of Clive. I'm in the studio today with my colleague, Preston. Preston's our chief financial officer, and it's good to have you with us.
Not soon.
Close. It's an easy way to do it. I don't know what you are.
It's fine. I definitely help make sure the bills are paid and get to pray with you every once in a while. And I love
having you here.
It's great.
Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, just everything you've shared. There's just so many needs out there. So I'm just going to reiterate what we've heard, and especially on the pro-life issues, that the people that have been misinformed just get to see the truth.
Amen to that. Maggie, do you have intentions you wanted to share too? I know sometimes you like to share a couple before that. Third decade.
I do have a couple housekeeping notes. Lana wrote to us, one of our colleagues. She said, "My niece Kate is 40 and her MS is getting worse and worse. The treatments are brutal and we're all praying for a miracle, but always grateful for God's will, whatever that might be." And also our colleague Mike Kendall wrote to me today. He said, "We'd like to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for a special listener today. It's his birthday. Tom in Bloomington, Indiana turned 77 today. Happy birthday, Tom, and prayers and best wishes for many more birthdays to come."
Hey, Tom, I know who it is. A good friend of Mike's. And Tom, we appreciate all you do, and we are praying for you. Happy birthday, 77 years. That is fantastic. I mean, you have many, many more years, and may they all be filled with health and lots of joy. I want to pray also a couple of intentions that come in. This person had written to us, and they said, "Please pray for my husband's coworker. He's been making my husband's job very difficult, even threatened to get him fired. We want his conversion and hopefully the resolution of this. He's been putting up with this for 15 years. My husband, Drew, is truly a genteel soul. Or gentle soul. I should probably read the word right. Gentle soul. That's fantastic. You know what I love about that? It didn't pray that the person, you know, gets moved. They simply prayed for their conversion. And my advice to you, and I'll say this to anybody having problems at work, get the Miraculous Medal or the St. Benedict Medal, right? And tape it under the person's seat. You do that and then start praying for them. Pray that God blesses them. I knew a person who was having a real problem with a coworker, and I think it was the miraculous medal they actually had. They taped it under the seat, and they didn't pray that the person get fired or the person get moved. They just said, Lord, please bless this person. Give them a promotion. The Lord heard their prayers. The person, within a month and a half, was offered a job in another company, and it was a better job for them, and it removed that person from the workplace. This person, in turn, was blessed, too, because they moved up. So God can work in mysterious ways. Another person says, hey, I'm asking prayers for my brother Michael, who's been recovering alcoholic for 6 months. He's thinking of leaving his sober living home, and I'm just asking prayers he stays there longer and gets more sober, time under his belt. Would you please pray for him? Yeah, we'll pray for everyone with addiction. And one final one here. Hey, blessings to you and all who work at Relevant Radio. You're amazing. Please pray for my husband and my children. The enemy is busy trying to break our marriage. We have a good relationship with our son. It seems the enemy is working through him and me to break our marriage and family. I believe if it's God's will, he'll hear my answer, especially through the prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But thank you all. Please keep my name confidential. I will certainly do that, and I appreciate when people write and put that at the top of the petition, because I'll see it right there. Sometimes I read things cold. But we'll pray for those intentions and more. And let's begin now. We will lift up all these needs. If I have a chance, I'll share some answered prayers with you too. But we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. We will take our first call today. This comes from Marge in Aurora, Illinois. Marge, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you to you and everyone at Relevant Radio. I'm just asking for prayers for my grandson and his boys. He's been through a divorce for almost 4 years now, and it's bitter trying to take the boys away. I'll make it short. He just needs prayers. He is so down right now, and I just told him to keep trusting in Jesus, because the enemy is, the devil is working the best when we're down. So if everybody would please pray. Thank you, and God bless all of you.
God bless you. We'll pray. He wants to save the marriage, right? He wants that marriage whole.
He wants it, but she doesn't know.
She doesn't.
It's been almost 4 years. It's so bitter. I don't even want to go into it.
No, you don't have to.
Thank you.
You got it, Marge. Let's pray for him right now. And you're so right. You know that we say that beautiful prayer at the end of the chaplet, right? Lord, please, you know, give us all that we need. We pray this prayer about not growing despondent, right? In your mercy, Lord, we say, please increase your mercy, so that in difficult moments we do not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence we submit ourselves to your will. And I know situations can seem impossible. It can seem like there's no way out. The marriage can seem like it's over. And this situation may not be alone, and maybe a lot of people have shared the same circumstance. With God, all things are possible. I'm telling you, he can heal a marriage. If he can raise a body from the dead, if he can resurrect, he can certainly heal the deep wounds of a marriage. And Lord, I just pray for not only Marge and her family and for her grandson's divorce, but I pray for all right now who are having conflicts in their relationships, for broken relationships between spouses, between parents and children, between colleagues and friends. I just ask that your grace go and you heal. And I do pray for the grace that was given at that sacrament, the sacramental marriages, that, Lord, whatever wound is there can be healed. The bond of that matrimony can, that marriage can grow stronger. And I pray for marriage, and I know this is something Satan hates. He hates life, he hates family, and he hates marriage. So I ask for your healing today, for those graces that those souls need. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Brenda is praying with us in Denver, Colorado. Brenda, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, and thank you to all your prayer warriors out there. I'm calling because I want prayers for my mom's soul. She deserves it. She was basically, it was Mary's story. It was creepy how similar it was. Her family turned their back on her because of it. It was always the two of us, and I took care of her till she died, and she left me alone. So wait, I want her to be prayed for.
Just so I'm clear, Brenda, so some people may not have heard that earlier call. You're talking about Mary Kay, whose mother was raped. And had her.
Was raped, and my mom was the last of 11. Her family blamed her.
So for being raped?
She kept me.
Wow.
For being raped.
Oh, my gosh, it's terrible.
She kept me, raised me on her own, and when she needed me, I took care of her, now it's just me.
Well, God bless you. I'm sorry for the passing of your mom. We'll pray for her soul.
Hey.
What's her name, by the way? Yeah. Do you mind sharing it?
Rosalie.
All right, we'll pray for Rosalie. She's a courageous, heroic soul, and what a beautiful mother. Yeah. What a beautiful mother you had. I'm so sorry for your loss, Brenda. And we will pray for her right now. And you know, what an example to others. I mean, look at the beautiful soul that the world has to shine in Brenda. It was all because her mother said yes, even after that terrible act of violence. But I pray for those who are the victims of tragedy and accident. I pray for those who are the victims of rape, molestation, incest, some of the dark, horrible things that happen in human nature. I just pray for healing of those souls. I pray for the healing of their soul wounds. I pray for the grace and the providence that they need for saying yes to life and choosing life. I pray for those who are the abusers and the committers of these horrible crimes, Lord. We pray for your justice. We also pray for their conversion. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we head to Homestead, Florida, where Kevin's praying with us, let me open Maggie's mic, have her join us again. If you have an intention, you don't get through on these phone lines. I know the phone lines can fill up very quickly. Please write to us. We really do want to pray for you, and we pray for every intention that comes in. You are prayed for. I pray for you. I know Maggie does. And you can get your intentions on the air via Maggie by just going to Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow me at Drew Mariani as well. And I think there's a way to do it online at the website, too. If you go to relevantradio.com, keyword Drew. We used to have our Twitter page here. I think you could post something, but I don't know. You can check it out. Anyway, Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, Cyrus forwarded me an email earlier today from the Patrick Madrid Show email account they have a listener, a little boy named Cruz, and his mom wrote them a letter about how much he loves Relevant Radio. At the end of the email, she said, "Could I quickly ask for your prayers for Cruz's dad, Joe? He was just admitted to the hospital on Tuesday and will begin treatment soon for an aggressive lymphoma. He's a very holy man and has offered up his sufferings for these past few months, aided by his family." And she says, "It's a spirit I'm completely in awe of. Thank you so much." One of our guests that we have on a lot, Mary Fiorito, posted on Twitter today. She said, "Please pray for Alyssa Loya, who suddenly passed away, and for her grieving family." Alyssa was a fourth grader at St. Linus School in Oaklawn.
No, how horrible.
Yeah, she says, "Please also pray for her classmates and everyone at the church and school." Gail is praying for a safe trip to Texas and for all Texans that have been affected by the ice storms. Carol is asking for prayers for Antoinette, a woman in her late 80s who fell and broke her hip, and she's in surgery right now. And Annalisa says, "God is good. Thank you, God, for all my answered prayers and for walking with my family and I. I want to pray for everyone that's listening during this hour."
Well, thank you so much for that. Those beautiful prayers. We are all praying for one another. And do me a favor, too. Tell one other person about the chapel. It's such a great way to have them join us, you know, have their prayers answered, see the touch of God in the lives of others. There's so many answered prayers that come in, and so often we're in a tough time, it's hard to pray. I know I've been there. I've heard the testimony from many others, and it's so good to be able to pray for others in those difficult times. Kevin's listening in Homestead, Florida. Kevin, thanks for praying with us today. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. A week ago Monday, I was involved in a very serious car accident, and I remained conscious the whole time. And when I went to do the MRI was so painful, all I could do was just pray the chaplet and pray the rosary. And I prayed it for what was supposed to be a 30-minute MRI scan. Yep. It took like 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
It felt like only 30 minutes. I just prayed and prayed and prayed. In the morning when I got up and I saw the doctor and saw the image, it broke my heart, Drew. My skull was separated from my spine.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just keep praying. I keep praying now. And I went through the surgery. I prayed going to the surgery. I prayed the chaplet again going through the surgery. And I, as much as I can remember, it was chaplet. And, and then 7 hours later, I woke up and the surgery was done. And the screws, I put 28 screws in my spine to hold myself together. And the doctor says that normally people who have this kind of injury come to him as quadriplegic. Oh, and all he can do is kind of put them together so their head doesn't pop around. But he's actually saying that I may actually have complete healing.
Oh my gosh.
To restore maybe even better than I was before.
Wow. You got to write that down, Kevin, and pass that along. What another powerful testimony, the power of the chapel. Well, first of all, I am glad you're okay, brother. Let me just say this. Car accidents, so often you get PTSD afterwards. It's a difficult thing. But to have this kind of surgery and to see it, look, God hears prayers. And I'm so grateful for you, Kevin. We're going to pray for your complete recovery. I want you to be a real witness and a real testimony to the power of God's mercy. You know, you prayed that prayer with a contrite heart. And you pray trusting in mercy. And the Lord says, a soul that will pray with a contrite heart and with faith, he says, I will give them grace, right? And he promises so many wonderful things through this chaplet of divine mercy. As we all know, I share these promises time and time again. Through the chaplet, you'll obtain everything, everything. What you ask is compatible with my will. You know, those who honor me, pray this chaplet. Every soul believing and trusting will receive it. The Lord heard your prayers, brother. He heard your prayers. And I am so grateful. You know, and as we pray together, you, Kevin, me, just let's stand on those promises. In diary entry, it's 1146, where the Lord tells St. Faustine, he says, souls that make an appeal to me delight me. The Lord wants you to ask. Souls that make an appeal to me and to my mercy, they delight me. To these souls, I grant even more graces than they ask. Kevin's in even better shape, the doctor says, than he ever could have expected. Lord, I thank you. I ask for those miraculous healings for souls. I ask for Kevin's continued recovery. I pray, Lord, right now, for all those who just, they need others to intercede for them because they're in a difficult situation right now. And I just ask that you honor these prayers, that you give even greater graces than we ask, that our humble prayer, united together, delights you. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, our next call comes from Barbara listening to us in Wilmington, Delaware. Hey, Barbara, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm asking for a miracle, really, for a person. His name is Dwayne. On January 16th, he had a brain bleed. They have no idea how long that went on before they found him. But he's in a coma. They say he's in a vegetative state, but I'm praying that he does come out of that. And if that's not God's will, then hopefully he'll receive many graces and blessings if he does have to go. Yeah. Be with God, but I'm really hoping for a miracle. Plus, my sister-in-law, Pam, ever since she's had chemotherapy for breast cancer, she has been in constant pain. The doctors cannot figure out what's wrong with her. No remedy seems to work. So I'm praying for her healing and for her and my brother, Jack's total spiritual conversion, because I don't think either one of them really have any beliefs. I don't even know if they believe in God. They don't seem like they do.
Well, Barbara, so remember this day, okay? Remember this day. Now, we're going to pray right now that those intentions you just voiced, today's a day in which new beginnings are about to unfold, that there'll be a change in trajectory and in course. And Lord, I give you Dwayne with his brain bleed in the coma. The Lord said that souls that pray the chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their life. So I pray that the Lord embraces him. And he says, you'll especially be embraced at the hour of their death, especially for the souls that we pray for. So whatever God's will in Dwayne's life is, we pray for. But Lord, I do pray for a radical change in his condition. I lift up all these other intentions that Barbara has just voiced. And I just ask from this moment, Lord, all those who are joining us in prayer, that they see your grace, they see the conversion, they see the healing, they see the remedy, they see the answers to their problems. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I give you Barbara's intentions in particular as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Bridget, who is praying in New Jersey. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi. I just wanted to request prayers for my brother-in-law, Danny. He was just admitted to the hospital with a severe blood infection, and we're actually about to go into the hospital after praying the chaplet. And also for my best friend's 10-year-old son, they just called the mobile crisis unit out to him for suicide watch.
Oh no, 10 years old. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, his father passed away in September, and he's just had a really hard time dealing with it. And then I also wanted to pray for my mother. It's her birthday, and she's in heaven right now. And also my mother-in-law, it's her six-year anniversary of going to God in heaven. So I wanted to pray for both of my husband and my families.
Oh, what a good soul. Let's pray for you, Bridget. We'll lift up all those intentions, too. And My heart goes out to the family of that 10-year-old. That poor family. I just can't even imagine it. Lord, I pray right now for all those with blood infections, those who are septic. I want to pray for those in particular that have gone before us. Bridget voiced her mother and her mother-in-law. But I do pray for her brother-in-law in the hospital right now. We have a lot of these hospital intentions that have come in today. A lot of people need that miracle. So, Lord, I'm just asking you as a divine physician to go and to bring physical healing, change in the conditions. And right now, somebody with back problems, that came to my mind right now. Lord, I'm asking you really to heal those that are suffering with back issues. I don't know who they are, but I really ask that as a result of this, claim that healing and just ask the Lord in his mercy to restore you, to give you the liberty, the freedom from that back pain. Rita in Westchester, New York, it's good to have you with us as well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to pray for my daughter and my husband. My husband has cancer. Yep. My daughter also has cancer. She has breast cancer. The surgery is tomorrow. I've been praying. I believe in God. I believe in the Blessed Mother. She helped them many times. I would love to help her this time too.
Amen.
Please pray for her.
We'll do that. Rita, you're a prayer warrior. You got a big heart and you got a lot of faith, I can tell. So we want to pray for you. We had that earlier caller with a sister who's had breast cancer and is going through a lot of pain. I give you cancer. It's an intention that comes up every day, Lord. So I bring to you not only Rita's intentions, but I give to you everyone now that's struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, relationally. Lord, I give you those finances that need help. And I just give you the cries and the crosses of so many. I intercede for them. And you said, Father, that it pleases you to grant everything souls ask by praying this prayer. So we turn to you now. I ask for this to be an abundant day of blessing as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One. Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for
Mother
us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I don't know who the patron saint of broken marriages is or relationships, but pray for us. Let's continue to pray for one another. Stay with me, though, when I come back. We got a lot more to talk about, and please tell others about the chaplain. It's really an honor to pray with you, and be sure and send me your answered prayers. Just send that answered prayer, because I know God's working, drew@relevantradio.com. Drew@relevantradio.com.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF. And Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
The truth.
Thanks, Drew. Always a quest for the truth.
Now.
And it just reinforced why I love Relevant Radio, because you guys got the truth.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful to be able to go ahead and have you just be part of my afternoon. I tell you, this chaplet's really touched me. And I'm just so grateful to pray for you. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Tell others about that prayer. And join us, and be sure and share your answer prayers with us. Talking about a lot of different issues here, and I want to get into two of them today with you. The first one, let me deal with this one first. Prisoners and organ donations, right? Prisoners and organ donations. Let me hold off on that one. I will get that to you where, you know, and I'm not talking about China. I'm talking about the U.S. incentivizing prisoners to donate their organs for less time. Let me start with a different story that came across. We're going to be joined by Father Tad Poholcek. And I really want to get his take. He's a very gifted bioethicist. One of my favorites, a longtime friend of the show here. And he hails from the director of education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And always good to talk with him. He'll be with me in a quick second here. But imagine you're sitting at work. And I'm going to give you a scenario, right? You got your ear pods in. You got your AirPods. You're listening to whatever, right? You're playing attention to what you're doing. And then you kind of drift off, right? You're writing that report. You're doing some charts. You're unscrambling data, whatever you do at your desk. And then all of a sudden, you get a pop-up on your screen telling you to get back to work. Maybe you can get a little electrical shock through the device that you're wearing. That sounds like science fiction, right? Yeah, well, not for long. There is a professor of law and philosophy at Duke Law School and a faculty chair at Duke, Massachusetts, in bioethics. And he made a presentation at the World Economic Forum. And remember the meeting they had in Davos a couple of weeks ago? He told them, what you think, what you feel, it's not just all data. Let me rephrase that. He says, what you think and feel is just all data. And he says, large patterns can be decoded using artificial intelligence. You can have an EEG sensor in each ear, maybe part of those ear pods that you're listening to. And, you can also take conference calls. You can listen to music. But you're having your brain activity monitored. And it can be monitored all day. So if you're a truck driver and you're dozing off or you're zoning out, maybe you get that little electrical impulse. You can see how it might be a good thing. Maybe you're sitting at work. Do you want your employer, knowing what you're thinking? It's not just something that might happen in the future. The South China Morning Post reported that there's a Chinese company mining data from workers' brains on an industrial scale to redesign workflows and adjust production speeds. That's China. Now, that sounds dystopian. Sounds science fiction, right? Chinese company is mining data from its workers' brain on an industrial scale to redesign workflows and adjust production speeds. Company called Brain Scientific. They've just produced an ink composed of graphene that when tattooed upon the human flesh, it can monitor brain activity. Maybe that's the mark of the beast, huh? Another company called Norable. It developed headphones that reads the wearer's brain waves and adjusts noise cancellation levels in response. The University of Toronto has developed a technique to reconstruct images of what people perceive based on their brain activity. That's pretty crazy. That is really crazy. Can you relive your life experiences? Sounds sci-fi to me. Father Tad Poholcek joins me right now. He has his PhD in neuroscience from Yale. I thought he'd be the perfect person to talk to about this. Father, good to have you back. Good afternoon. We just lost Father. We'll get him back on. He's on his cell here too. Let me take a quick break while we reconnect to him. Also, when we come back, because I want to get into this, but I don't want to shortchange the conversation, I want to tell you what's happening, not in China, but in the state of Massachusetts, where you can reduce your time, if you're a prisoner or a criminal, in exchange for bone marrow or organ donations. What? All right, do we have him back? Let me go to him before I break then. Father, it's good to have you with me. Welcome back.
Well, thanks, Drew. I'm sorry the line's been dropping a bit here, but good to join you.
No problem. We'll ride with you. You know, whatever happens, we'll make it work. Hey, I want to first start before I get to the organ donation and bone marrow transplant. That's a big ethical issue. I want to talk about brain science with you a little bit here too. I was sharing a story. I'm hoping you heard most of it about these implants that allow scientists to monitor brain activity, not just scientists. As I was saying, there's a Chinese company that's mining this data so that they can, on an industrial scale, redesign the workflows and adjust their production speeds by having their employees do this. There's tattoos you can put on. There's a whole new science, a new world evolving. I'm assuming that this is something that scientists have been wanting to do for a long time, you know, somehow get insight into people's, you know, electrical activity, their brain flows. What's going on here? How sci-fi is this? And to me, it seems very dystopian.
Yeah, well, it's something that, the way you were describing it, where maybe you would have ear pods and be able to do monitoring that way, it would be, I would say, rather rough edges, kind of basic monitoring. Mm-hmm. But as time goes on, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with what Elon Musk has been doing, where he's been putting in a whole set of electrodes into the brains of these monkeys. And, you know, once you have that kind of level of intrusion into the brain, you get much more detailed and accurate kinds of scanning possibilities. So, you know, it's not yet dystopian, but I mean, you're right to have the sense that we're looking at a future where we're going to be figuring out more and more ways to sort of intrude on the brain. And it's, kind of sacrosanct reality.
I see the benefit of it, Father, in respect to, I'm a truck driver. I'm on a long haul. The company makes me wear these earphones or some sort of sensor that identifies whether I'm zoning out or not. Okay. It's for the safety of the driver, the safety of other people as well. When China is a Chinese company, and this was reported in the South China Morning Post, when they're mining data from their workers so that they can increase production speeds, you know, redesign workflows based on the brain activity of their workers. That to me is, and then Norable, you know, is the headsets. And then we've got the tattoo with graphene in it. And it's bizarre. It really is. Should lawmakers be thinking about this now and writing laws to shut the possibility of this happening? I mean, for me, it's so far out. I can't imagine seeing it in my lifetime, but look how fast things accelerate. Who knows what looms in the future?
Well, I think it's something we need to continue to watch closely. And it may be the kind of thing that in the future, it'll make sense to have laws that govern and regulate this particular industry because of the potential for really being intrusive here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a funny side to this. When I know some people, when they go and visit other family members, they have the Alexa or one of those Google, you know, home apps, those machines. And whenever they walk into their house of the relative, they'll unplug it because they say, I don't want Google, you know, listening to everything that we're talking about here. So they actually physically unplug it. Now, you know, you have the freedom to unplug it, and that's fine. And I think there are going to be people out there who, with these brain technologies, scanning technology, they'll be happy to wear the earphones. They won't particularly care, but there will be others who will. And the concern becomes, when is this going to be compelled?
Yeah.
Are you going to be, as you're saying, in South China, does the employer require that you wear this kind of thing so that they monitor you, or else you'll lose your job?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to raise significant concerns.
Yeah, it's such a great point. They'll make the leap from consent, hey, we want you to do this, to demand. If you want the job, here's the apparatus you have to wear, and this is the requirement. It is a very, very slippery slope. Father, stay with me. I'm going to take a very short pause. When we come back, I also want to talk about incentivizing prisoners here in our own country to give up vital organs and bone marrow transplants so they can shorten their time. Pretty bizarre. I would think that's China, right? Give us your organ.
There you go.
We'll give you a little bit of time back. You know, and you're a young guy. You're thinking, I want to have a family. I can't do all this time in prison. I want to get out. All right, I'll give you my kidney, right? I'll tell you what's happening. It's a bizarre story when I return. Stay with me. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
Welcome back to The Conversation. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for being here with me. I'm speaking today with Father Tapa Holchak, a very gifted bioethicist, taking a look at some issues that I think should give every citizen of the United States of America pause. We know China's reputation, right, for being a despotic country, including doing things like using prisoners as a source of organ harvesting, organ transplantation, right? They just take them from you. I'm not going to go into the details. It's pretty gruesome. It's a whole other conversation, but they have long targeted a religious group known as the Falun Gong. It's a primary source of those organs. Let's just say that the Chinese authorities, they're not that concerned with whether or not the prisoner is still living when the organ is removed and what happens to them afterwards. So it's pretty macabre stuff. But there's a bill here in our own country, in the land of the free, right? Home of the brave, the great United States of America. There's a proposed bill in Massachusetts that to me is horrifying. This bill is going to allow prisoners to exchange bone marrow, that's painful, or organ donations, organs, for a reduction in their prison term. Now, here's the deal. I looked at the numbers. I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, I'm in jail now for 6 to 12, or I'm going to do 20 years or 30. And I'm still a young guy. I'll give up my kidney. I can live without that if it gives me 10 years back, right? Maybe I can get out and have a family still. And, you know, it's a long time in my life, right? Well, Massachusetts is only offering these guys 60 days to a year reduction. Are you crazy? Who would say, okay, you can have my bone marrow for 60 days. Or, you know, here, take my left kidney. Take that one, okay, for a year. I don't think so. You know, right now, it's simply an incentive. To Father Polchek's point that we had before, you know, a lot of this stuff is always voluntary. Not that we'd see it here. I find it just unimaginable that the United States of America, it would ever be mandatory. But, boy, you never know. Whoever thought that we would, as a nation, legalize the destruction of a living human being in the womb? Huh? Whoever thought that, right? So I step back and I say, and don't ever say never, right? But I just want to throw this out. Incentivizing prisoners to give up their organs for reduction in time. Who pitched that? Father, I'd love your thoughts on this. You know, why would anyone even think of this? And your thoughts on the ethics behind this. Love to get your take.
Yeah, definitely some real ethical concerns here raised by this, Drew. Organ donation always needs to be a freely chosen action. You choose to do it out of, you know, whatever your motives are, there should be a freely chosen, non-compelled kind of an action. Now, why is that important? Because our bodies are really important to take care of. And if you're tempted to, you know, violate your own body in some way, there needs to be an appropriate reason for doing that in cases where it would be allowable, like giving up one of your two kidneys. And this has been a problem that when, for example, in the Philippines, they'll have organ brokers show up and say, we'll give you, you know, $10,000 if you'll give us one of your kidneys. And these people are then flown to some other country. The organ is removed and they go back to the Philippines. They get their $10,000 and somebody steals the $10,000 at the airport and they get no follow up care. Their life turns into a disaster. Et cetera. And they really weren't free because they were in such poverty that $10,000 was a form of incentivizing them to damage their own bodies. So these things are definitely not the kind of thing in a civilized society that we want to be incentivizing. Organ donation must be free. And it's very generous when somebody does make the decision, hey, you know, my brother-in-law needs this or that, you know, needs bone marrow, needs a blood transfusion, and you step up and do that, very generous, or even a kidney, which is quite a significant donation. Yeah. But it must be free. It cannot be compelled. So Massachusetts is crossing the line here by incentivizing this. And you got to remember, too, that these prisoners are already in a vulnerable situation.
Absolutely.
They're, you know, incarcerated. It's not fair to them to be waiving these additional incentives in front of them.
Yeah, no kidding. The two state lawmakers, they're both Democrats, claim the bill would, quote, restore bodily autonomy to incarcerated people. Critics.
Not true at all.
To your point, they're warning, one, it's unethical. They say it preys on desperation. These people are desperate in there. They miss their families, their children, their spouses. They would do anything to get out. And I think it's I think it's horrible.
And, you know, the Massachusetts lawmakers are sometimes saying that there's not currently a way for prisoners to make donations like this. But that's not true either, Drew. Of course they could. If they wanted to freely donate an organ, what would have to happen? They'd have to be taken, you know, down to the infirmary. There'd have to be special arrangements made with outside hospitals so that when they – but it could all be done.
Yeah.
It's just there has to be an expression, a free expression on the part of the prisoner, not a compelled situation of donation.
Now, I heard people say, you know, this kind of perpetuates a stereotype that inmates are subhuman, and they're not. Just because you go to jail, you don't lose your dignity, right? You don't lose your humanity. You made a mistake. I feel my heart goes out to, again, one of the great corporal works of mercy is to visit the imprisoned. And I try to do that. I should do it more. But I think so often, you know, it's an act of mercy, and it's something that is they're often overlooked. And now to try to prey on them in a moment of desperation is terrible. You're talking about the loss of dignity in our culture. This is another extension of that. Father, Maggie was asking me a question. Hey, Maggie, why don't you open your mic? Why don't you ask Father the question about the ethics of egg harvesting? Maggie wanted to expand on this a little bit.
Well, you were, you know, talking about these people in the Philippines that get duped by these harvesters, and it made me think about, I mean, it seems kind of like a strangely common advertisement that I've seen even in here in America. Women, you know, want to get paid tens of thousands of dollars, you know, give up your eggs. And I wonder how that kind of relates to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. And this is a whole nother area where we currently have what we call the Wild West of infertility. Nobody's really watching over what's going on. So you do have ads like that that'll pop up in the university student newspaper, and they're looking for young women who got 1600 on the SAT, who have, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, and dot, 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 the list of qualifications, and they'll pay you, you know, sometimes $50,000 for a single superovulatory cycle.
Wow.
So this is another form of coercion. Obviously, this is not a risk-free proposal. You have to treat the girl, the woman, with hormones ahead of time in order to get her ovaries to produce extra eggs, which then get harvested. So this is not something that should in any way be encouraged and promoted. It's a lot of times, you know, done under the heading of a kind of altruism. Oh, you're making it possible for somebody else to have a baby using your eggs because they couldn't have their own baby. But this involves, you know, a series of moral violations, one after another, that lead people in completely the wrong direction. In the face of infertility, we need to be offering, you know, authentic answers. And those include things like, you know, very generous decision to do adoption of children who are already born, that kind of thing, but not to be instrumentalizing our own bodies, to use a fancy word there,
that's for sure.
You know, turning our bodies into objects that we can just harvest, you know, without concern.
Yep. Let's do this. I'll grab a few calls. I know you got a series on educational series videos coming up. I want to get people plugged into that. But Michael's got a question about the separation of our organs. He's listening in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Michael, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, good afternoon, and thank you, Father, for being there. This question popped up into my head just a week ago at a Theology of the Body workshop. My understanding is the church for centuries said there was no cremation, and then the church approved cremation. And it occurred to me, if I was in a position to donate my organs to science or a deserving individual, I no longer would have determination of where my body parts go, and if that person were a criminal or decided they were an atheist or were an atheist, How does the church reconcile that, Father?
I only have about a minute and a half, Michael. Let me let him respond to you so we get your question answered. Go ahead, Father.
Great question, Michael. So if you donate your body to science, you know, that's allowable. It is important that when you make the arrangements, say, with the university that's going to use your body for science, that there be an understanding at the end that they will return either the body to you or the ashes. And then when those ashes, it's typically ashes that they will make available, those need to be interred. They need to be placed in the family plot. We have such abuse of human remains occurring these days, as people will take the ashes and put them up in the attic, put them on the mantle of the fireplace. Maybe the ashes will get lost among other possessions. We need to show respect for the remains of the dead by not doing that, by always interring them in one place. And then we have a place that is a focal point for prayer for the deceased person. And the church strongly, strongly insists on this aspect of it, because a lot of people are doing things even like scattering ashes, you know, in various places. And again, the church says, no, they need to be interred in a specific location.
Father, let's have you back to talk about this in greater detail. I'm up against the clock. Best way to follow you is at fathertad.com, or what's a good resource?
Yes, fathertad.com is the best place to start, and also ncbcenter.org for the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
You got it. Always great to talk to you. Let's do it soon, okay, Father? Looking forward to catching back
up. I look forward to it. Thanks so much, Drew.
You got it. That's Father Tapaholchek. I'll be right back.